Okay.
It depends on that maybe you covered everything covered.
On the syllabus. Okay, so Mikopka, Dine Tfilas HaKelim. HaKon Miyovu Kochavim. So it's very fascinating. Tfilas Kelim is actually, it's a great subject to teach if you want to like show like how things go from like, what do they call it, Pasuk Lipsak. Because there's like only a couple of Sukkim and only one Gemara, right, all in Dafayim Vavim Beis. And once in the Shulchan Aruch, and then you get lots of interesting cases that all go back to the Gemara. Anyway, it's very Meruch Haz, concentrated. The
Tvilas or Hashem?
Tvila. Tvilas Kelim. Tvilas Kelim. Hakonu Yovikovim Klei Suda Shal Makos Osho Zuchuchis. Okay. Most of the issues in this sugya, in this not all, but most of the issues in this siman surround defining the three requirements. Basically, each of these will have like 10 little issues within it. The three requirements that are machayev you in tefilas kelim: A, it has to be konim yovid kochavim. What counts as konim yovid kochavim? That's one issue. B, the most complex issue perhaps, is what counts as kli suda. And C, what counts as matkos o zechukas, meaning as materials that have to be kashered. We will not go through it conceptually and say, first let's tackle A, then B, then C. We'll go through it in order of the Shulchan Aruch, but you're all capable of, then if you so desire, subdividing it into these categories and integrating things in a conceptual fashion. The Gemara says Klei Suda, they're medayik from the Psukim. They're medayik from the Psukim Klei Suda, because the Psukim are really talking about Kasher and Kalim in Parshas Matos. So they say therefore Klei Suda, more in Parsha, one of the Amorim, I forget who had a Havim and a Tobel cloth tailor scissors. And they said, no, it's only Klei Suda. Why do we only Tobel Klei Suda? So we're not going to get deep into Hashgafa here. But I think the point is relatively simple, is that, when it comes to non-Suda Kalim, when it comes to, things used by tailors and accountants and carpenters and electricians, so there's obviously a difference between, someone who says, between Kol Ma'asecha Yulashem Shamayim and just secularity, but the difference is perhaps not as pronounced. The difference is not as pronounced when it comes to food kalim. So that's, for Kedusha, the Rambam is ultimately all about. It's only about two things: food and sexuality. Food is the only one of those two that involves kalim. Those are basic animalistic physical drives. The two basic animalistic physical drives, and we have very restricted ways of expressing them, which is the way we bring Kedusha into our lives, by restricting our exercise of our animal drives in order to put it in the proper context and focus. And therefore, specifically Klei Suda, a Klei Suda of a Jew, and a Klei Suda of a, again, theoretically, hammer or a screwdriver of a Jew is different than that of a guy, because the Jew is hammering and screwing the screws l'shem shemayim, but it's much more crucial and pronounced when it comes to Klei Suda, where again any particular Jew or any particular guy, can exhibit variation. But the Ikaron, the secular non-Jewish world is not expected to have kedusha in their Suda, and we are expected to have kedusha in our Suda, and therefore It is a significant transition, and that's why Dafka Klei Suda, hashgafically, that's why Dafka Klei Suda, we have to tovel if we get them from a guy, because they were in a world where they were destined to be used for pure animalistic physical Suda, and now they have to be transformed into something used for a Suda of Sefer Kedusha, for a Suda which has an entirely different meaning from a Jewish context. Okay, that's a little bit of a hashgafic introduction. Now let's get to the nitty-gritty. Defining Klei Suda only comes up a little in this se'if, but it does come up in two places in the Achronim before we get to the main topic of this Seif. Number one, Rabbi Kiva Eger here brings down a big machlokas Achronim about, and this is going to come up again a little later on in Sef Zion comes up in the portion, as to what a klesuda obviously means something used with food. But does klesuda mean anything used with food? Because after all, klesuda means suda. Doesn't necessarily say clay ochel. Maybe klesuda is only something used in a way that contributes significantly to a suda. So two things which for sure count as contributing significantly to a suda are cooking the food so you can eat it at your suda and serving it at your suda. But what about kalim that don't play such an important role? That will come up in terms of the definition of play suda. And Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down a famous machlokas achronim. What about storage kalim? Right, they don't... Now, by storage kalim, I don't mean the sugar bowl. The sugar bowl you bring to your table and you put sugar into your coffee from. That's a clay suda. It goes on the table. What I mean is storage kalim that don't make it to the suda. So they're not at the suda. They're in your pantry or in a factory. And they don't do anything. You just, like, let the stuff sit there. And we all... a bread box, for example, that is a classic storage clay that we all have in our houses nowadays. One second. I wrote myself a list of examples of all the different things. Okay, and if you go home and look in your pantry, you'll find lots of storage container use. You know, some people, I don't know, they put they buy beans and popcorn and spaghetti and whatever, and they put them in all kinds of canisters. So those don't do anything. Do those count as klesuda or not is controversial. Out of Yom Zer, Rabbi Kiva Eger here in the long one, in Sif Aleph, quotes Machlokas Achronim in... they had some sort of big vats for wine that that Mahari Melida says that it's not considered klisuda because it's only for storage, but the Yisur V'Heter says that it is considered klisuda even though it's only for storage. So that's a big machlokas achronim ad hayom hazeh. It hasn't really properly been resolved. If you ask the kashrus organizations in America nowadays, I think they all have rules for kilos kalim on their websites. The Star Case says, you don't have to total storage containers. We hold like the Mekilin. And the OU has something approved. Arvelsky says, you have to total without a bracha, because we're machmir misafi. No one says total with a bracha. It's at least a safi. The question is total without a bracha or a pater. So it's not clear ad hayom is that somewhat misafik. Rabbi Kiva Eger here himself wanted to suggest a chilek between Doraisa and Rabbanan. I think I asked Rabbi Willig this question once, and that's what he wanted to say, that if it's metal, then you have to be machmir total without a bracha, because that's a shiloh, perhaps a Doraisa. We'll see that a little later on. But if it's glass, then you can be makel, because that's only a machlokas about a Rabbanan. But Adayom is dead. Different people say different things. The other issue that comes up here in terms of klesuda is also ties into this is in the Pesachei Tshuva Sivkatan Aleph, where he quotes the Chachmas Adam's Dion about Mechober Lekarka. What about Big Kalim or Mechober Lekarka? The main discussion, some Achron discuss this from the Suda issue, maybe anything Mechober Lekarka is decided from a Suda, but the mainstream discussion is the Kli issue. The Chachmas Adam seems to assume, the Chachmas Adam says even though they're attached to the building or the ground, I guess, or wherever you attach them to, they would still need tefillah, then it's a big problem because you don't know how to tovel them. But everyone quotes from the Tshuva Shav Yaakov. Some people, mistakenly think called the in the Chelkas Yaakov, we call it the Shvos Yaakov, but that's just a total sofer. There's Tshuva Shav Yaakov. It's quoted by the Yad Ephraim. If you have on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hey, he quotes Ayin Shut. Oh, even he says Shvos Yaakov, but I'm pretty sure it's the Shav Yaakov. Kedera Chadasha Shalom Lechoshes Shekorin whatever Shekorin Tanav Esachor. So it's a Kemish Alok. Everyone agrees. No one used to tovel them. So why did no one tovel them? So the Shav Yaakov says that's okay because since it's attached to the ground, therefore it's not makabel tuma and it's not a kli in the first place. This is a big deal. Does the type of some sort of kedusha diktuma that we're dealing with in kuf kuf you told them about have any? Is it related to regular tuma matara that we're familiar with from Seder Taurus? So the Shav Yaakov assumes it is. And he says that, look, he's not sure exactly what the Chacham Sada meant, but certainly if you have something that was originally built in the ground, or that was originally built in order to be attached to the ground, that's not Mekabel Tumah. The normal halacha is any kli that's originally built in the ground is not Mekabel Tumah, or any kli that's originally built in a factory and then put on a truck. But the intention the whole time was to attach it to the ground is not Mekabel Tumah. That's Mafkir Shem Kli. And therefore, he says that anything made to be attached to the ground is not mekabel tuma, and that is the minhag. The minhag is that when you have big factories, I don't know, you have in a milk plant, you have this big thing that holds like 10,000 gallons of milk, a shiny metal container, and it's built into a building, and it's not. Again, I don't mean you take something, you take your pot and crazy glue it to the ground. That doesn't help because it was already clean, right? That's more than the seventh paragraph of Avakam. But the it's something which is originally made to use of the ground. The minig is not to tovel it and to rely on the Shav Yaakov against, it seems to be from the Schachos Adam and Sukkot Nalaf of the Pesach Tshuva, to assume that since it's not a kli, anything attached to the ground is not a kli, and if it's not a kli, then it's not a kli suda. There's a Chelkis Yaakov, it's on Makarshi, which I'll give it out before we finish the seven. Take this a step further, there's a famous kula where he says anything you have to plug in is pater from tefillah because it's only made to be attached to the ground because you have to plug it in to the electricity. So he says any electric kli is pater from tefillah because you have to attach it to the ground, so it has to be plugged in. However, all the other modern day poskim don't think that's a valid extension because that's not attached to the ground, that's just plugged in. So they mostly do not accept the Chelkis Yaakov's extension of the Shav Yaakov, but he does take it that step further. Yes, go. The Chelkis Yaakov. That's Rav Yaakov Breisch from Switzerland. Okay, that's in terms of Klisuda. Two issues to come up here: storage kalim and mechobel karka. In terms of the materials, so the Gemara learns from the Chumash that is talking about metals. There, after Zahavis Kasev Esa Nechoshes Habarzel Sabdilia Sofaris, that is only metal. But there are abundant added glass because glass is similar to metal in that you can, if it breaks, you can weld it back together. So that's what we say. Klisuda Shamakos Oshal Zechuches. Are chayev in tevila. There is some discussion of if can I have a volunteer? I have three makoros sheets here. I'll do the first one now. There's some discussion about the definition of mateches. In the Torah mentions six metals: gold, silver, iron, copper, tin, and lead. In the time of the Torah, there were only those six metals. Those were all the metals which humanity had discovered at that time. Technically, there was a seventh metal. Why is that seventh metal not relevant?
Lead.
No, lead is one of the six. What was the seventh metal they had in ancient times? What? No. Gold's in there. Gold, silver, iron, copper, tin, and lead. The seventh metal is mercury, but since mercury is liquid at normal temperatures, so it's not really, there's no need for the Torah to discuss it in terms of tefillas kalim, only solid metals. The question is, what about modern-day metals? Specifically, what about aluminum? Right, this comes up in the question of aluminum pans. Aluminum pans obviously have a much more striking characteristic that they're disposable, but there are things made of aluminum that are not disposable, such as I once, this is a good lesson to all of us, why we should avoid short SMS. I got a SMS, right? People are, if you're listening for America, it's a text message. I got an SMS saying, you know, do you have to tovel, do you have to tovel aluminum pots? So I was about to say no, and I was saying, hold on a second. So I actually called the person back, and I'm like, what kind of aluminum pots are we talking about? They're like, oh, it's like a pot, but it's made of aluminum, and it's very cheap, because I'm like in Jordan someplace, and I just want to buy a quick thing just to use it and throw in the garbage. So the stainless steel ones are like $50, and the aluminum ones are $10. So I'm like, that's a real pot. That has nothing to do with disposable things. So that's why you have to be careful to always get the details before you answer Shiloh. Anyway, so do you have to tovel aluminum, let's say an aluminum pot that's really... an aluminum pot that is that's a real pot. Do you have to do you have to total it or not? So that might depend. Is aluminum a kli mafeches or not? So there's a famous machlokas between the Gra and the Teferis Yisrael. Teferis Yisrael means the Yochanan Vaz on the Mishnayos, as to whether mateches means all metals or only the six metals mentioned in the Torah. The Gra says. The Gra says, Mateches means only the six metals mentioned in the Torah. However, the Teferis Yisrael says, no, those were just the six metals which they had 3,300 years ago. But Mateches means all metals. So it's a famous machlokes in the Gra and the Teferis Yisrael, whether Mateches means, again, the Gra says it means only the six metals, and the Teferis Yisrael says it means all metals. It's really, they point out, machlokes Rishonim. If you look at the side of the sheet that has Hebrew at the top, there's a Rashi in Rosh Hashanah who says that he's trying to explain why zechuchis is, why glass is not mateches. So he says, etc. Just look at the last, the end of the third line. We learned from Matara from these sukkim, which are the same place you learned to use candle from. So Rashi says, no, the only kli matkos that are mentioned in the Torah are the six ones mentioned in the Torah. So he says, don't tell me glass is really a funny kind of metal, it's a clear kind of metal. Yeah, we might have answered by using chemistry to say glass is a metal. Rashi says, no, don't tell me glass is metal. Only the six metals mentioned in the Torah count as mateches. So Rashi pretty clearly agrees with the Gra. However, the Rambam and the Pesach Mishnayos and Akdamas and Yotaros, when he's dealing with all different kinds of kalim, which is, again, something recommended, everyone should read the Rambam's Akdamas and Yotaros if they don't yet have a basic kiyus in the basic concepts of Taros. The Rambam did a, he doesn't need my endorsement, but he did a very good job in his Hakdom of the Perish Mishnah Sefer Taros. He says, V'chein korin l'chol ha-kelim ani tochim davka kli matkos v'ein kli zechuchas b'chlalam. And he says, kli matkos means anything that melts and that you like pour it into a mold, which you don't do with glass. He says, yeah, glass isn't matkos because you don't make glass the same way you make metal. But anything that is nitach, right? Matkos comes from the root word nitach. Right? Anything that you melt and then you can shape it into something, that's called mateches. What? Okay. So, the, actually, I don't, can you do that before? I don't know how plastic works. I guess so. Anyway, so for some reason, I've never seen anyone take it as far as plastic, although it's an interesting question. L'maisa, the Rambam sounds pretty clear that the word mateches means davar hanitach. Would mean all metals, and that would include aluminum, titanium, and any metals which they find nowadays. Would also be metal, because the Rambam seems all like Teferis Yisrael. So it seems to be an ancient machlokas. Rashi and Gra say only six. The Rambam and the Teferis Yisrael say everything. Halacha, yeah?
So why
do
the
Teferis
say six?
Because those are the only six they had.
Why doesn't you say metal?
So that's the Gra's kind of. The Gra says the Torah could have said metal. The answer might be because, you know, I don't know, maybe we wouldn't have known what counts as a metal if it hadn't said these six. We would have thought it only means four or five of them. Or maybe it's the darshan other things from the Ramban. The Torah suggests that there might be other things we darshan from those six, although he doesn't have a mukher in Chazal. for that. So it's a good question. Anyway, halacha lemaisa in terms of the modern day poskim. Halacha lemaisa in terms of the modern day poskim. There are three deos in the modern day poskim. The Tfilas Kalim book quotes Rav Wozner, the Yeshiva Levi, is saying that aluminum is metal. He quotes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky as being noted to say aluminum is not metal and it's putter. And he quotes Rav Moshe, who I put on the sheet here, as saying a compromise position that that Rav Moshe says, he gives the whole thing, he says, after all, Hashem knew everything, and he even knew someday they would find aluminum, and why did he say 56? It must be down 56. But he says in the end, or let's see where it Rav Yaakov sounds, he said he was noted to think you might be Pater Lagamre. That's what Ramos says. Ramos says it's not like metal, but it's like Zechuchas. After all, if they were Gozer and Zechuchas, because they're like metal, Kalachomer, metal is like metal. So that's what Ramos assumes. Ramos assumes that that the last line, Zechuchas, Zechuchas, became a Kadosh, and Gozer, Apishla, Dimoyin, Lateches. He says that that they are chayiv and tefila midrabbanan as part of the zera of the kuchis. Halacha lemaisa, we assume that even though it's hard to be achriya the machlosi Rashi the Rambam, which the machlosi the Gemara the Tiferes Yisrael, halacha lemaisa, we assume that metal needs tefila. We're not sure if it's like mateches or if it's like zechuchis, but Moshe does have a good point that if mitzaber, that at the very least aluminum should be as similar to metal as glass was. It should be included in the Gzeres Chazal. So the Lemaisa, we assume you have to tovel. We assume you have to tovel aluminum. If you would have a real aluminum pot, you'd have to tovel it. I mean, Rav Moshe obviously thinks you have to tovel it with a bracha. Halacha lemaisa, I think the Tfilas Kalim book says you should tovel it with a bracha. Although, you know, could be that you might want to be choshish. Maybe tovel it with something else, but if you don't have something else. I'd be a little nervous. But I'll be, even if he quotes from Yaakov, Yaakov wasn't sure he potter, just his notes that way. I'd be a little nervous about the bracha. This also, by the way, is very Nogea Lemaisa for Thomas Kohenim as well. A lot of things such as airplanes are made of aluminum, and that would factor into the equation, but not for now. Okay. That's in terms of Matechis. Glass is glass. We're pretty familiar with glass, even though some poskim write that they're Mesopak, we assume that the Pyrex and things like this are really glass. Even things that aren't clear are still glass. As a matter of fact, it could be in time of Chazal, their glass was, or Tendler said, in time of Chazal, their glass wasn't clear. It's just we got fooled into thinking glass is supposed to be clear. I don't mean they never saw clear glass. I mean it was more expensive. So the glass things, even glass things that are not clear, are still glass. For kashrus also. Yep. Yeah, the whole thing is glass. And it's not. The whole thing is glass.
It looks a little bit like
cheres, but it doesn't look like cheres. It just looks white. And we think white is cheres, you know, it doesn't really look like cheres. I don't know what looks like cheres. The cheres isn't really white either, probably. It's just painted. I don't know. I guess, no, you can make it any color you want in the mix. Anyway, lemaisa, those things are glass, and you can tovel them with a brush.
Are some of these things, like, shatterproof? Does that change, like, any...
No, the core not.
Maybe it shows them, like, how glass is made, and how is it, how long is it different from how quick
it is? That is a excellent question. No. He canceled. The Right. In as glass will melt in the fire, and cheres won't. That's why glasses, they were, those were similar to metal, and metal and cheres they weren't. But exactly, you know, where that comes from, and how to make one as opposed to the other, I'm sure you could find out on the internet. But I'm not sure. But halakhically, you're right. I mean, bottom line, you don't need to know anything fancy. You don't need to know science, you don't need to know chemistry. Glass, there goes, or is it similar to metal? Because if you break it, you can melt it down and meld it back together. It melts in a fire. Cheres does not melt in a fire, right? If you break cheres, you melt in the fire. You can't stick the two parts back together. Okay. The O Kalim Hamatsupin, the Shulchan Aruch continues. O Kalim Hamatsupin, but over mi bifnim, afishim, or likewise, kalim that are mitsupa with lead. Again, nowadays we don't, we're not mitsupa with a suit of lead because it's very bad for your health. But in those days, they didn't know that yet, I guess. And lead is lavdavka. Afishim chadoshim, even though they're brand new. Sarach latvila b'mikvah. Oh, mayan shel arbaim saw. There's a long discussion in the Taz here, based on the Torah and Beis Yosef, about exactly what they were discussing, but halacha, we're not going to get into that. Halacha lemaisa, it needs to be a mikvah or a mayan. That holds 40 saw. That's not really something that the question of if it's a mayan, would it need 40 saw or not, is not not something that comes up nowadays. Lemaisa, we pass it needs to be a mikvah or a mayan of arban saw. The Rambam says yeshom dekelim tzum ba'avar afilu b'fnim yitbo b'lobrach avichein dogin. This is the big discussion of lead-coated kalim. The Gemara has this discussion. Kunya, they call it lead-coated kalim. If you look in museums, you find from ancient Roman times, they had all kinds of lead-coated kalim. They don't mean like nowadays. Nowadays, a lot of clear coatings have lead. Their lead-coated kalim, it actually looked like lead. It looked metallic. Not like nowadays, like if you buy cheap ceramics in the 99-cent store from China, then chas v'shalom, like the kids could get brain damage because of the lead poisoning, because there's lead in the glass coating. That's not what they meant in the Gemara. In the Gemara, they meant an actual lead coating that like looked like a piece of metal. It made your cheres look like metal. And the Gemara has a suffix, whether you go by the original fleet or by what's coated with in the end, and Paskins, Bivadai, that if it's lead coated, it is, if it's lead coated, it's chayiv in tefila. We go by the coating. The question is just two controversial issues. One issue is, so one piece is very clear. What if it is, here we have mitsupin. But avar, if it's mi bitnim umi bachutz, then it's for sure chayiv in tefila. That's like a classic lead-coated kli. A regular lead-coated kli from the times of Chazal, they coat it with lead on all sides. They didn't usually coat it only on one side. But what if you coated it only on one side? So, what if it's only coated mi bitnim? What if it's only coated mi bitnim? So, Tosos already says in the Rishonim, no, mibifnim is the important part. Why? Because klesuda means what holds the food. And the mibifnim is where you put the food. So really, mibifnim, most Rishonim say, Tosos and then many other Rishonim afterwards, say that if it's coated mibifnim, then you tovel it bit vadai. And that is the machaber, right? Tosos and others say chayav. And that from Saka the Makaber, he said, as long as it's coated me bifnim, that's good enough because that's the part used for the Suda. However, the Ramah is Choshish for the Smak. The Ramah is Choshish for the Smak. Says, no, even if it's Jibithnim, you should tovel it without a Bracha. The Smak says, maybe it is Pater, and that's the Psak of the Ramah, and that's the Halakha Maisa, Yitbo, without a Bracha. Why? Why should there be a Ptur if it's Tovald, if it's coated on the inside, if that's the important part? So the Taz here explains that That a real substantive coating, a coating that was meant to improve the kli, they would have coated it on all the sides. After all, what's the main reason they coated their kalim? Why would they coat their kli charis with lead? What? No. Why would they coat their kli charis with lead? To make it waterproof. The normal way is to make it watertight, so that it wouldn't get disgusting and everything wouldn't seep in. It wouldn't be hard to clean. So if you were doing it lechadik of a kli, you would coat the whole kli. Why would anyone only coat the inside? If they're only coating the inside, that must just be a decoration. That's what Mendel meant to say.
Oh.
So that's the svara. What's the svara? The svara for the poltron is that a tzipoi mibifnim eino ella. You gotta do a better job there. Eino ella lenoi. What?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, you had it on heat. You probably didn't mean that. Okay. Anyway, that's okay. The hot red sun. The red sun means heat, and the blue snowflake means
a lot of light.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so halacha l'maisa. Therefore, if you would have something that only is metal on the inside, you'd be choshesh. Metal on the inside is only the noi, and if it's only the noi, then it doesn't take over the identity of the kli. That's just decoration. Decoration is not important, and you would tovel it without a bracha. Excellent question. I don't know. It might be for Sephardim. You told it with a bracha. I don't think it really happens much nowadays. I've never really seen kalim that are metal on the inside.
They have
cheris, which they only do glass on the inside?
Yeah. Like,
really?
Like
Kam Bechor?
No.
Oh. Well, I know if you guys have gone on a date, so I've never been there. Really? So maybe that would be within the same category here. Okay, so halacha l'maaseh, if it's only coated on the inside, then we say that only counts as, then we're choshesh, that only counts as noi, and maybe you are a potter. We're choshesh for the smak. What if it's only, nibachotz. What if it's only coated from the outside? So Tosfos says, if it's only coated from the outside, you are potter. Because he says, we care here about tlisuta. So Tosfos is very clear. We only care about the inside, not the outside, because only the inside is shy to the suta. The outside is not shy to the suta. And that's the psak of the machaber. The machaber says, if it's coated on the inside, the chayven tvila bevadeh. If it's coated on the outside, certainly implies that you're pasuk from tefillah bevadai. So that is very, very pashut. However, the Rama says, "Mitzupin va'aver afilu b'fnim." You have to tovel without a bracha. What does that sound like? Even if it's just on the inside, tovel without a bracha. Even means, and there's also something else. So the chor is something else. It sounds like if it's mibachutz, only mibachutz, you also do without a bracha. If it's only mibachutz, you don't make a bracha. Even if it's only mufnim, you don't make a bracha. And that's the sheet of the shach here. The shach in Zivkatan, Dalit, he quotes the Mordechai, in my old Shulchan Aruch says Mordechai b'shem harav beis, but if you have a new Shulchan Aruch, they probably fixed it to pei. The Mordechai is quoting the Rabbeinu Peretz there. Did they fix it in yours? No? Okay. Maybe my Mordechai's wrong. But, what? You have Peretz. Okay, good. You have a real new Shulchan Aruch. You must have a very firm new Shulchan Aruch. Halacha l'maisa, the Shach, the Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, who says, no, maybe you're chayav, no matter where the coating is, any coating is chayav. So, the Rabbeinu Peretz said, based on Rav Yah, that if a suffix, and you have to total it without a bracha, and that's the Pesach of the Shach. And that is the diok in the Ramah. Rama says, even rak b'fnim, you tovel without a bracha. Talachomer, rak b'chutz, you tovel without a bracha. This can happen sometimes. Sometimes they have, like, these, like, car mugs. What do they call the mugs that you put in those cup holders in your car? And I, someone showed me once, it was like plastic on the inside but had metal on the outside for decoration.
That's clearly
for decoration. But it's not, but it's only something whether decoration is a reason to posture. What? Okay, the Baldic. So, lemaisa of something metal on the outside and plastic on the inside. Oh, I forgot to mention plastic before. Okay, we'll come back to it. Something metal on the outside and plastic on the inside, then the mechaber would potch you, but the Ramah sounds like you're going to chayiv you, and that's mefurish in the shach. Halacha lemaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan didn't think this was a good deal for the Ramah. The minhag seems to be against the shach here. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins that you're potter, the Chachmas Adam paskins that you're potter, and on Rebelsky's Hilchos Tefilas Kalim, on the OU site, he says that anything where the metal doesn't touch the food is potter. Minhag Olam is to assume not like the Shachar, but like the Mechaber, and even the Deacon Ramah, not a lot would have accepted this Deacon Ramah, to assume like the Mechaber that whatever doesn't touch the food is potter, because that's not the important pseudo part of the kli. Okay, but it is a machlokas.
Now, I'm basing this on stuff later in the sermon, but that would not be true. What if even if it doesn't touch the food, but it's integral to the, like...
We'll get to that. Most of the shach points out, by the way, this is a general rule, shach gotten hay, says whenever it says tov without a bracha, why tov without a bracha? Because it's a safek, so you have to tov yisafek, but not say a bracha yisafek. But what if you do need to say a bracha? So the shach says it's always better if you have something that has to be tov without a bracha to bring it to the mikvah with something that needs a bracha, and that way your yotzei perfectly l'chol adeos. If it needed a bracha, you said a bracha on the other clean. And if not, then not. So that's not always an option. But when it's an option, let's say you have something that you want to tovel without a bracha, because the halach is a suffix, then if possible, you should, you know, bring it together with something that for sure needs to be tovel, and that way you'll be able to say the bracha.
It's only two items which you have to say in terms of say
I think when didn't this come up? Yeah. So I think yeah, so many people say in general tefillah. I think we would say all tefillahs kelim in that case. But in any case, the nusach of the bracha is not makiv either way. And tefillahs kelim could always mean tefillahs kelim in general. So you can't lose all that much. That's the shach and sukkah hay. What else? 1 second. Did I want to discuss here? Very important. One thing, this is all about things that are coated with metal, right? Metal-coated kalim. What about glass-coated kalim? So, read the Mechaber, right? Who knows how to read the Mechaber? Yosef Kasorla knows how to read the Mechaber. What's the halacha of glass-coated kalim? Yeah, let's say you have charis coated with glass. Glazed earthenware. What's the halacha? What does the Mechaber say? Let's read the Mechaber. Klesuda shall matchos, o shall zechuches, o kalim hamitsubim ba'ovar mibifnim. Mateches or zechuches or coated with metal. The diak sounds pretty clear, like he's saying if it's coated with metal, you have to tovel it, but coated with glass, it seems a pretty clear diak, the echor or diak from the machaber, and the machaber thinks you don't have to tovel it. So what if you have klesheris, mitsubim, be zechuches? The diuk of the Mechaber is that they are potter from Tevilah. Why would they be potter from Tevilah? Can anyone think of a svara?
We only go there on
what?
We
why?
Make it a
mikvah. Exactly. So that's the that svara is given by the pre-Toar here. Right? The pre-Toar here, in the old-fashioned pre-Kaddish, they published it together with the pre-Toar. The Pre-Toar is a parish on the Shulchan Aruch written by the Or Chaim HaKadosh. I don't know why they used to publish it together with the Pre-Chadash. It might just be because they're both parish. And the new Pre-Chadash, they just printed Pre-Chadash. I don't think there's any substantive connection between the Pre-Toar and the Pre-Chadash more than, I mean, so are many people who wrote parish about Shulchan Aruch. They didn't put the Brit Yosef in there. So, the Pre-Toar says, the Pre-Toar says the Svara is because, right, you can't you can't fix it. Right? The whole reason they were gold during glass is because if it breaks, you melt it down and stick the two pieces together like that. But if there's a glass coating on Paris, then you can't stick it back together because the coating won't hold because the Paris doesn't melt. So therefore, it was within the Gzera. The Shuv Shevet HaLevi is a different Svara. The Shevet HaLevi is a different Svara. He said, Sifoy is Derabbanan, and Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. The Acharonim seem to assume this is true, that lead coating is only Derabbanan. Sifoy is only Derabbanan, and glass is only Derabbanan. So they were gozer on Sifoy, but they weren't gozer on Sifoy and glass, because that would be Gzera L'Gzera. They weren't gozer on a double Derabbanan.
This obviously would be their Derabbanan switch.
Correct, but they don't come as a density word. Sifoy is glass. Okay, that's his explanation. You're right, it's not so posh. But anyway, that's the two explanations why the Mechaber would have pottered. However, the Shach in Sivkotin Beis quotes from the Isser V'Heter. Right? The customers have to call the chest and I test the mitzvah is chuchis, dinam ki mitzvah ba'avar. So, lamaisa, the iser v'heter. And the shach say that mitzvah is chuchis is chayav, and therefore, the later achronim say, again, I'm not sure what Sfardin do, but at the very least, the later Ashkenazic Rishonim say what you would expect them to say. It's Rabbi Kiva Eger says, like the last Rabbi Kiva Eger, this Sif says, glazert, meaning glaze, lo yivarech, you should tovo without a bracha. So halacha lemaisa is what Rabbi Kiva Eger says, that's that, and all the other achronim, I just quoted him because he happens to be on the page. Halacha lemaisa would say you tovo without a bracha because we're not sure if the diuk and the mechaber is right or the shaf is right. If it's on the inside and the outside, yeah.
Oh, this is talking about both
even
sides.
If it's the inside and the outside, correct. Even if it's all sides. Like, most things you coat with glass, you coat on all sides. 8 tons, example, not the same. Most things that are coated with glass are coated on all sides. Right, this is, even with all sides, you do it without a bracha. Halacha l'maisa, this creates a big suffix nowadays about what about modern day dishes. Most modern day dishes, what we call china, or regular dishes, sometimes people only call the fancy ones china, but they're really the same. They're really the same thing. But what about regular dishes nowadays, like all dishes nowadays? All dishes nowadays are made of cheres, of earthenware, or other, you know, the similar things halachically, and they're glazed, right? Otherwise, why, right, you don't notice our modern-day dishes behaving like Kluteris mentioned in Shas, right? They don't get, like, very dirty and impossible to clean, and, you know, they don't seem to be balea, etc. Because they coat them with glass to make them waterproof and, you know, bleo-proof, etc. Okay, whether that works 100% or not, the scientists argue. And we are cautious that it doesn't, obviously, in terms of Hilchos Kashrus. But what about our modern day dishes? So for sure you wouldn't tovel modern day dishes with a bracha. That obviously wouldn't make a bracha. Because what about the mechaber? Question is, you tovel them without a bracha? So I think the common minhag nowadays, in most places, is to tovel modern day dishes without a bracha because it's cheres mitzvah b'zchuchis, which is not locus being. We assume it's a machlokes between the mechaber and the shach. Therefore, you tovel them without a bracha. However, the minhag of the psak of the Rambam and our yeshiva, basically everyone I've spoken to, is that our modern day kelim are not as glazed as the old kelim. In the old days, they had relatively advanced techniques. I mean, they weren't cavemen, but still, they didn't have modern day techniques. How do they glaze the kelim nowadays? In the old days, how they glazed the kelim? Not exactly sure, but they could brush them, or they could dip them, or different ways. Nowadays, you have these fancy machines that like spray very, very thin, almost imperceptible layer of particles. And nowadays, it looks shiny, but it's not really nicker that it has a layer of glass on it. You can't really see a separate layer of glass. It just looks shiny. So, I heard from Willig, Tendler, and Schechter, that actually I Jack told me heard from Schefter, I heard from William Teller, that our modern day glass dishes, since it's not in glasses and knicker, just look shiny. Therefore, even the shock would be modest. And since it's only a suffix or a button in the first place, and our modern day dishes, maybe everyone will be modest, therefore you don't have to total them. So I think in most yeshivas, they total dishes without a bracha because this machlok is shock and machaber. However, I think the Minaganar Yeshiva is that you don't have to total these dishes because nowadays it's not really nicker as a separate layer, and it just looks shiny. This is all not to be confused. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that some people did confuse it. This is all not to be confused with something different called porcelain. Porcelain is different. Now, of course, porcelain and modern day dishes look awfully similar, which is the whole point, because you can't really see the glass. Porcelain, a lot of people think that porcelain and china are the same thing. As a matter of fact, like if people use the words, you shouldn't like hold them to their words, because people aren't medakdek in terms of what word they use, unless they're scientists or something. But porcelain is actually something totally different than china. China is earthenware, which is glazed. Even nowadays, a very tiny, thin, special layer. But it still has a layer of glass on top, just a tiny layer of glass on top. However, porcelain does not have any layer on top. Porcelain is just a special recipe for cheres, which it's not glass. Glass is also a different recipe. That's a different recipe. It's a kind of cheres recipe where they just add one chemical, I forget what it's called, and it makes the cheres itself impermeable and shiny. That's what porcelain is. So actual porcelain is a different heft entirely. It's pure cheres, which just looks like it might have been glazed because it's hard and impermeable and shiny. But that's just because of the special kind of cheres. Real porcelain is pretty rare. Most of us don't have real porcelain. I think it's very expensive. It's a little translucent, unlike regular dishes. But real porcelain is just pure cheres. That's what the Pesach Tshuva here quotes in Sifkatan Beis from the Yavetz. Now there's a whole discussion in terms of Leos. Is porcelain Bolea or not? But in terms of Filos Kalon, the Yavetz says, Bevadai, and all the Achronim quote him, Bevadai, that porcelain is real porcelain, is for sure Pachin from Tevila, because it's just Cheres and it's not coated with anything. It's just a special kind of Cheres that they invented. But it's definitely Cheres, not glass, because if you break it, you can't. Meld it back together again. So that's in terms of real porcelain. But again, most of us, I don't think we have real porcelain. What else is discussed here? Plastic. I forget where, but I saw there are some very, very small minority of people nowadays who want to say plastic is like zechuches, because you can meld it back together. That's makhlal, like zera of chazal. But we're not choshish for that, and the vast majority of people don't total plastic at all, and they don't worry about the fact that that it might be like zechuchas. Could be, okay. What?
On the board of Netflix, that's
total plastic without a bracha. Okay. So but most of us are probably not chabadniks or such dark yekas. So we don't necessarily have to worry about it. But the mainstream stock is not to worry about plastic. And to assume that when Chazal goes around Zechuches, when Chazal goes around Zechuches, they weren't thinking of plastic. That didn't exist yet, and therefore the Xero wasn't common. So we don't total plastic here. The Pesach Tshuva has two other arrows here. If you look at the cut in Gimel and Dalid, in Gimel, he points out something very, very, very obvious, but that people can make a mistake about, that tovaling, you have to dip the whole clean in the mikveh at once. The reason why people can be confused about this is because in Haggadah, you don't have to put the whole clean in at once. As long as you keep track and make sure that every part of the clean gets in, that's fine. You can put in one half and then turn it upside down and put in the other half. And as a matter of fact, people do that. Maisim Choyom. But tzvila is an all-or-nothing kind of thing when it comes to Tzoma V'Tara, because you're not physically cleaning it, you're just having a halos tzvila, and therefore it has to all go in at once. That is very important. And in Sifkat and Dalid, he deals with something which is really hardcore Hilchos Mikvos. We're not going to deal with, but sometimes when people are very, very stuck, it can come up, can you total in snow? That's not as feel as Kalem Shaila, that's Megvol Shaila. I mean, the same question is, can a person total in snow? Does snow count as a mikvah or not? And Halakha L'maisa, he assumes that B'Shas Adchak, for Drabbanans, you can rely on snow. So if you have glass, B'Shas Adchak, you can rely on the snow. If there's no mikvah around, but there's a lot of snow, and you're really stuck, you can rely on it for glass. But for metal, which we assume is the rice, we'll see a little later on, he assumes you can't rely on snow. Okay, if you learn how to make mikvahs, you'll see where these shitas come from. Okay, that's the if out.
The ocean is totally fine.
What?
The ocean is totally fine.
The ocean is totally fine, even though when it comes to women toveling, we have certain chashashas about the ocean, like maybe it's like a numal because it's tznius, she's afraid of tznius, and because it's muddy, etc. But none of this applies to Kalem, right? You don't need tznius to total Kalem, and you don't put the Kalem on the floor. So yeah, so the ocean is fine. Rivers would be controversial, just like in Hilchas Nida, because rivers might not be a kosher mikvah. But oceans are for sure kosher mikvah. Oceans are for sure kosher mikvah.
A lake's like an ocean.
What?
A lake is like an ocean.
Yeah. So lakes and oceans are for sure okay. Because that's a kosher mikvah. The only reason we prefer that women don't go is because of side problems. Lakes aren't Zophel. Lakes stand still, no. That's a river.
Lakes are kept
really
high.
Okay.
It's raining.
The,
some lakes have a source in the spring.
Have a what?
Have a source.
In a, some lakes have a source in the spring. The lakes move a lot. It's a Zahilash Ainami Keras. Okay, I don't know. You have to mind the different kinds of lakes. I don't know. How do lakes work? At the Kinneret, I guess it has like
the
pipe water out of it.
The water comes from somewhere and goes somewhere, but it doesn't look like it's moving if you look at it.
Well, I think we normally are not machmer on Phyllis Caleb, from what I understand.
What about a well?
What about a well? Wells? Well, I thought the Pesach Tshuva discussed a cistern.
Yeah.
Oh, he said bear?
Yeah.
Yeah, one second. Where was that one? Here we are. Yeah, but that I didn't really understand. He said a be'er, but I'm not sure what he meant by a be'er, because then he says you clean it out and it becomes she'uvim. Like, what kind of... He obviously didn't mean, like, the regular kind of be'er that we're used to. What? Yeah, anyway, so I'm not sure exactly what kind... I mean, obviously, it's, do you clean out wells? I don't know. I don't, you know, so I wasn't sure exactly what kind of tzias he was talking about. So it would depend where the water comes from. But most wells, the water just comes from groundwater. So then, if it has 40 saw, you should be okay. And whether or not it's 40 saw, I don't know, you have to measure. Okay. Base. Sarashi akli rofoi biyodim shastila. Right, now that we know you have to dip the whole kli in at once, so the question is, how do you keep it from falling to the bottom of the mikvah? So you have to hold on to it. The problem is, why isn't your hand a chatzitza? So there is a mishnah about this in mikvos, right? Ha'ochei ba'adim v'kelim matvilan, right? We learned this in Nida, those were here last year. And there are two opinions in the mishnah. The Tanakama, or Tachamim, or whatever, and Rabbi Shimon. What were the two opinions? What does the Tanakhama say? Yadiyach yado, right? If you wet your hand, then there's water between your hand and the kli, and then there's no chatzitza, because your hand's not directly touching the kli. The water is touching the kli. There's water between your hand and the kli. And Rav Shimon says, Yerache, you should hold it loosely. So there seem to be two options. You can either wet your hand, and then your hand's not a chatzitza because there's water in between your hand and the kli, or you could hold it loosely and then there's no chatzitza because anything loose is not a chatzitza because the water can get in.
This is machlokas or just two separate aces?
Aha, excellent, excellent question. It seems to be a machlokas. The question is the machlokas that everyone agrees holding it loosely helps? But they argue whether wetting your hand helps, or everyone agrees wetting your hand helps. They argue whether holding it loosely helps. That is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashva. The Rambam says that basically the Rambam says that everyone agrees that you can wet your hand, but Rav Shimon says you can hold it loosely, and the Tanna Kamma says no. Rav says no, everyone agrees you can hold it loosely. Rav Shimon says that wetting your hand doesn't help. So let's tackle these one at a time. What is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? The Shulchan Aruch Paskin, sure, she had kli rafoi biyada b'shas tefila, she mahad kubi yada b'chatzi, so you should hold it loosely. Loosely, v'im lichleach yada b'chayim tefila lachosh, or you should wet your hand first. He holds that either of these are valid options. Now, why does he paskin like the Tanna Kamma? That's obvious. So the Tanna Kamma is the Chachamim. So of course you should paskin like that. The question is Rav Shimon. So first let's tackle Rav Shimon. This is a machlokes, as I mentioned, machlokes Rishon. The Rambam says that the Chachamim were not only Rav Shimon matters. And the Rashba says everyone agrees. Why would the Rambam think anyone would argue that holding it loosely helps? Isn't it obvious that if you hold it loosely, it's not a chatzitza? What? Exactly. Meaning no one thinks you need a raisa holding it loosely doesn't help. That would be ridiculous. The Rambam said the Chacham Aser Gezeira Shema Yehadik, what's his Lashon? Shema Lo Yarpe. Okay. Maybe that it's Aser to hold it loosely, Gezeira you might hold on to it tightly. After all, what's the whole point? The whole point is that you don't want this cleat to drop out of your hands. Right? So you say you're holding it loosely, but then you're going to get nervous and hold it tightly because you don't want it to drop and break or get lost in the bottom of the mikvah or, you know, or the ocean or whatever. So it's very mistaber to make this gezeira. And, you know, kavah chomer, if you're talking about a person, you know, you don't want the person to fall in the mikvah. Let's say an old and frail person. So you say, I'm going to hold the old and frail person loosely and help them into the mikvah. But you're afraid they might fall and get hurt, so therefore you will hold them tightly. And that's why this eitzah doesn't work. So this is machlokes rishonim between the Rambam and the Rashba, whether the halacha holding it loosely is a valid option or not. So the mechaber paskins like who? The mechaber paskins like the Rashba. The mechaber paskins like the, or at least seems to paskin like the Rashba. He says that yeah. Everyone agrees that that holding it loosely works. That's not controversial. No one makes this zero. And who takes him to task? So who takes the machaber to task for this? The shach leaves him b'tzarech ion. The shach's not exactly sure what he means. He says something about b'tzarech ion. The shach says b'tzarech ion on the machaber. What's the b'tzarech ion? Says it's machlokes in the Rashi and the Rambam. Says why can't you just ignore the Rambam like that? Who ever heard of such a thing? Just ignoring the Rambam like that. So the shach says, I don't like this idea at all. After all, the Rambam says the Gzeir Shema Yerape, and then he quotes, we're all also okay, we're not so worried about. But the Rambam's a heavy hitter, right? So why aren't we worried about the Rambam? We should also hold him loosely, because we should worry about the Rambam. However, all the Achronim go back and defend the Mechaber. What are the two ways of defending the Mechaber? One way is the Tiferet L'Moshe quoting the Pesach Yeshuva, and there's probably more ways. And the other is the Aruch HaShulchan here. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan defends the Mechaber and says that, the Shita of the Rambam was Nidkes. He says, the Mechaber's right. Oh, why are we worried about the Rambam? He says, because we don't worry about the Rambam, because the Mechaber understood that Pshat in the Mishnah was not like the Rambam. And therefore he rejected the Rambam. The Rosh Hashanah Mishnah is that Rosh Hashanah is being machmir, not being makel. Therefore, even though normally why you reject the Rambam is even fighting the Rambam, the Rashba, because in this case he is machmir, that the Rambam was a bad shot. The Tiferet L'Moshe in the Pesach Yeshuva says that even the Rambam is molded in Tzvilas clay goyim. Why? Because it's not an Isser Chomer. Even the Rambam only goes there in an Isser Chomer. What's an Isser Chomer? People going to mikveh is an Isser Chomer because the person could be Chayav Kares, let's say Nida, could be Chayav Kares if they do it wrong. And toveling a Kli in the olden days was an Isser Chomer because if you told your Kli improperly and eat Truma in it, you would be eating. You would be eating Tamei Truma. It's a little funny. His Lashon is Yichai Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Thank you, Yichai Misa B'Dei Shemayim, for eating Tamei Truma, only for eating Tamei Truma, which was a god. It's more Chomer Isser, as opposed to Tfilas Klei Akum, that's an Isser Kal, because all, we're not saying that it's okay, but it's just a bit of lase. to not hold your cable. Nothing's treif and nothing becomes tummy. Therefore, since it's not an Isser Chomer, this Zera doesn't apply. So even the Rambam would admit here, okay, Lamaisa, the Achronim argument had to justify the Machaber, but most Achronim in the end agree with the Machaber and not the Shach, that holding it loosely helps. Halacha Lamaisa, I have not seen people give this as a practical Eitzah, to hold it loosely. I think because that they're afraid, even if the Machaber said we don't make Xera, I think they're afraid it'll be too hard and too complicated for people and they'll forget. So the practical Eitzah, you know, telling people to hold it loosely is hard because, you know, they might forget to hold it loosely, or maybe the Rambam's right, we should make Xera. So practically, even though really the Machaber should beat the Shach here, practically, it's better to use the Tanakama's Eitzah. And not Rav Shimon's Eitzah, just because, you know, especially nowadays, people aren't used to mikvos, and maybe they'll forget. Basically, I guess, going back to the Rambam.
The Tanakama's Eitzah of wetting your hand, how exactly does that work if you're holding it really tightly? It's not...
Okay, good question. How does it work if you're holding it really tightly? It doesn't matter. Because there's that thin layer of water between your hand and the kli, and therefore, let's say I'm holding this really tightly. There's a thin layer of water between your hand and the kli, and that thin layer of water comes out to the borderline and touches the water of the mikvah. So therefore, it's all in the water of the mikvah.
Has it mikvah water or any water?
Ah, okay. So that's the machaber amah. That is in terms of Rav Shimon. So in terms of Rav Shimon, the machlokas isn't, you know, what the details are. The machlokas is, do we pop like Rav Shimon or do we not pop like Rav Shimon? Machlokas is between the machaber and the shach. The achronim seem to be on the side of the machaber, but nowadays people are nervous about it. In terms of all the signs with instructions, I'll tell you the Tanakama. In terms of Tanakama, the question is, what did the Tanakama mean? So, let's go to the Tanakama. Right? What's the question of the Tanakama? Right? Yadiyah Yado. The question is, with what kind of water? So, offhand, what would you think? What kind of water do you need? Do you need any special kind of water or any water?
Any water.
Any water because?
Because it'll be
Hashaka, right? Because once you put it into the mikvah, it becomes mikvah water, right? If you put regular water into the mikvah, assuming the mikvah has 40 sa, right, or 40 sa plus or minus. Even if the mikveh is 40 sa, any water you put in becomes mikveh water. So that's the shita of the mechaber. That is pashup shat. That you could use any water. So this is shat in the Mishnah, the mechaber, right? The Gra agrees. Says even mayim pollution. You can put any water in your hands. Then it's very easy. All you have to do is wet your hand, and then dunk the kli, and that's very simple, and you don't have to worry about how hard, or how loosely, or how tightly you're holding it, no problem. Seems to be the Pesach Mechaber, and that's the top of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, wash your hands first. What does that mean? That means with regular water, mayim pollution. Because after all, as the Gra says, how are you going to wash your hands with mikvah water? Even if you dip them in the mikvah, when you take them out, it's not mikvah water anymore. That's called being tolish. So the pshat of the Mishnah is, you just wash your hands with regular water, and it becomes mikvah water when you put your hand in the mikvah.
practice it, you're washing your hands and then you grab something and you're not in the water, so there's not going to be water and you sweep the whole thing in your hand.
Yeah, there is.
You take your hands.
Your hands are very wet. And probably even if every square inch of your hand is not covered with water, it'll spread out when you grasp something. Hold on, just one second. If you wash your hands, right? Do a taste. Close your eyes, and if I wash one of my hands, and you feel both of them, you won't be able to feel which one is wet, which one is dry.
It'll be wet here, it'll be wet there, on your whole hand.
Yeah, there'll be a very thin layer. It doesn't have to be a very thick layer of water. You don't have to be able to pour it, right? It just has to be a very thin layer. I think there'll be a very thin layer of water. I think so. And go right now. Go wash one of your hands. Come back. I'll close my eyes and I'll tell you which hand was washed. Don't dry it.
Is there any sort of the possibility both need to wear your hand and let it get loose, or that doesn't help much?
Well, let's wait till we get to the Taz. Yeah.
Just practically speaking, can do it, but I mean, if you stick one hand in the water, and then you hand it to the other one.
Exactly. So let's go to the Ramah. The Ramah says, based on the Mordechai, the Ramah says, based on the Mordechai, that you have to use mikvah water. Why? Because the Mordechai has a psak that the Mordechai says that if you have like a heavy glass.
I don't know what his exact case was. Yeah, but
a heavy glass bowl, which is on a heavy glass frame, right? And you put them in the mikveh together. He says that in that case the water can't. A heavy glass bowl inside another heavy glass bowl. They're both full of water, and you dip them in the mikveh. It doesn't count because where one bowl rests on the other, it's a chatzitza. Says, there's water in between them. He says, no. But that is not mikvah water between them. That's regular water in between them. And he says, mikvah water in between things, that counts as toveling. But regular water in between them doesn't. Why? Because the principle is for hashaka. What's the chumrah of the Mordechai? The chumrah of the Mordechai is that for hashaka, to make regular water into mikvah water, it's not enough to have a kol shehu connection. To make regular water into mikvah water, you need to have a significant connection to the mikvah. So if I, right, what he's saying is that if I, I have regular water here, I want to turn that into mikvah water, it's not enough that one molecule of it touches one molecule of the mikvah water. It has to have at least a layer of touching the mikvah water. It has to have at least, some noticeable shear where it touches the mikvah water. Therefore, he says, when you have glass pressing on glass, that is, what's the case here? Here you have like one kli, here you have the other kli. In between, you have a little regular water. Says that regular water has such a small connection to the water next to it, that that's not enough to turn into mikvah water, it's no good. So that's the chumrah of the Mordechai. The Mordechai's chumrah is that regular water can't turn into mikvah water unless it has a significant connection. And if you hold something tight or a heavy thing pressing down, it's not a significant connection. And therefore, it's no good. So the Ramah, based on the Mordechai, and the Shach agrees with him. The Shach doesn't explain himself really so clearly, but this is what he means with the Ramah means. He says you need mikvah in between because regular water is not going to get turned into mikvah water if it only has a tiny, tiny connection to the rest of the mikvah. It has to have a bigger connection to the rest of the mikvah. Now, the Mati Yehona study asks, well, how do you ever have mikvah water? How can you hold a kli with mikvah water in your hand? So when you dip your hand in the mikvah and take it out to pick up the kli, it's now tallish water. So the answer is, the Mount Yehonas that explains that you have to pass it from one hand to another hand inside the water, the mikvah water. Basically, the only way to be making this Ramah is that let's say I have, I don't know, a big pot. I have to put the pot in the mikveh with my, I don't know, let's say left hand, and then put my right hand in the mikveh, and then put into my right hand while it's all underwater, and then I have mikveh water between my right hand and the pot, and then it's considered properly tovel. So that's the chumrah of the Ramah, that I need mikveh water between my hand and the pot, and the only way to do that is to have my hand in the mikveh and the pot in the mikveh when I pass it into my hand. What? You mean that's the only way to do the Ramah? Could be. Okay, Matthew Homerson says it on the page. I'm sure a lot of people say, I mean, it's the only possible shot in the Ramah. It must be what the Ramah means. Matthew Homerson's on the page. If you put it in a basket, that might depend how heavy it is. If it's a very heavy thing, then maybe there won't be any water between in the basket. But if you put it in a basket, then it's very easy. All you have to do is lift it off the basket for 1 second and let it drop back onto the basket. You just have to jiggle it so it goes off the basket for 1 second. That's basically what the Mordechai said. Just turn it in a way that you can jiggle it. And all you have to do is jiggle it off the basket for 1 second, then when it lands back on the basket, there's mikveh water in between it and the basket, and then you're fine.
Or
you can drop it into the basket. And catch it in the basket. So people who put lots of cutlery in the basket could be problematic, because if it's so heavy, let's say you pile a basket with cutlery and then dip it in the mikveh, then it could be, not only will there be mikveh water in between the fork and the spoon, there won't be any water in between the fork and the spoon, because the fork will weigh down so heavily on the spoon that one fork's not so heavy. But, you know, if there's 20 forks, then the second to bottom fork will weigh down very heavily on the bottom fork, and there'll be chatzitza for each other, so that could be a problem. So if you put a lot of things in one basket, then you have to make sure to sort of loosen them a little so that water can get in between all of them. Once in the mikveh, they get loosened, then they can go tight on each other again. Now there's mikveh water in between them. But yeah, you would have to be nizer not to put too many things in one basket. You have to be nizer in this. Halacha leh maisa, the Taz makes a pshara. What's the Taz's problem? The Taz makes a pshara. The Taz says, basically, I don't think he says it from this angle, but he says, you know what, even if we accept this Mordechai's chash, it can't be that ridiculous. You really think that's the Mishnah meant? You have to pass it from hand to hand under the water. So the Taz says, even if the Mordechai's right, the Ramah is still wrong. Right? Basically, the Mechaber and the Gra say, we don't hold like getting this Mordechai. We don't hold from this idea that you need main mikvah. We hold that you can use regular water and turn into mikvah water. The Ramah and the Shas say, no, we hold from this idea you need mikvah water in between, and then you have to do this weird way, having your hand in the water, the kli in the water, and then holding it. The Taz says, no. The Mordechai's right. But that's only if you hold it very tight. But if you hold it somewhat tight, in between tight, then you don't need that. So he makes a compromise. He says, if it is... What's his lashon? If it is very tight, if you're holding very tight, then you need main mikvah. Because when you're holding very tight, if you're regular water, that will not be attached enough to turn into mikvah water. But if you're holding medium tight, bekoach beinoni, that's the case of the Mishnah. That, he says, very tight is the case of the Mordechai. Medium tight is the case of the Mishnah. He says, give me a break. You think the Mishnah means you should do this crazy shtick in Ramah? No, but on the other hand, you know, the Mordechai, I am more committed to the Mordechai than I'm commonly grown. And the Mordechai the point. Even the Mordechai was talking about something that's very tight. He was talking about a very heavy full glass kli lying on another very heavy full glass kli. That's very tight. And the Mishnah was talking about, you can't say the Mishnah was talking about loops, because that's for shibboleth. The Mishnah was talking about medium tight, of somewhat tight, and then you could use any water. That's the pshara of the Tassel of Maisa. There's three shittos in how to interpret the Chacham of this Mishnah. It says you have to wet your hand first. The Ramah and the Shach said it has to be mikveh water, which means you have to stay in the mikveh the whole time. The Gra and the Mechaber say it can be any water. The Torah says if it's very tight, you need, if it's very tight, then it needs to be mikveh water, but if it's medium tight, then it could be any water.
Cool. So Taz's explanation, what does that mean in terms of like the shear of how much water has to get in between?
Ah, he said, when it's very tight, there's only the tiniest, tiniest connection. And that tiniest, tiniest connection is not enough to turn regular water to mikveh water. When it's medium tight, then there's a slightly larger connection. And that's enough to turn regular water into mikveh water. Don't ask me to actually give numbers for this. Because that is an exercise in futility. Halacha le maisa. Halacha le maisa. Halacha le maisa. I know this is, the truth is halacha le maisa, different people still say different things on a gemazeh, but I know I saw Rebelsky wrote in the OU that we possibly like the Taz, but it's a chumrah, if you can, to do like the Ramah and Biyotze all the Deos. So really, he says, if you pass like the middle sheet to like the Taz, then you also have to grab the copper in the side, so wet your hand with any water and hold it medium. But, he says, the best thing would be to do like the Ramah.
Are we considered better than the Ramah, or just the same to not hold it at all?
If you don't hold it at all, then it's Gevalik.
Is that equal to the Ramah, or that's even the Ramah has to?
That's equal, because the Ramah has to work, it's a Mishnah. If you don't hold it at all, that's Gevalik. Just what's going to keep it from rolling to the bottom of the mikvah? So the answer is...
pass it to the other hand in a millisecond.
You can drop it from one hand into another, yeah, that's Gevalik. Or you can drop it into a basket or something like that.
There, though, you think that said that Benoni is like the normal way of holding it. It's not like a super... like the Taz of Frank is a super grip, not something...
Yeah, Benoni seems normal. That's reasonable. Right? Meaning you don't normally hold things loosely, and you don't normally hold things very tightly. Okay. That sounds reasonable. Okay, so Lemaisa, I think, can compromise and say like the Taz here, but you can compromise and say like the Taz, but, you know, Yesh Machmirim, like the Ramah and the Shah. Okay. Sif Gimel. Yivarech al Tfilas Keli, the Mishnah, and Yosem Rech al Tfilas Keli, that's the Minhag, that even though usually we have a unified nusach for the bracha, this is still close enough that's a unified nusach. We say Keli for one and Kalim for more than one. The interesting machlokas is the Mordechai brings down a machlokas rishonim, though. We have a Kalim Kelim. The same Kalim. Okay, that's just the plural or singular. But do you say Al Tvilas Kalim or Al Tvilas Plain Machos? So that's a machlokas rishonim quoted in the Mordechai. And the Mechaber obviously passing you say Tvilas Kalim, but the Bach, as quoted in the Shach, and the Shach seems to agree, the Bach is read from the Shach. The Shach seems to vote disapprovingly, saying, no, it's Tvilas Klim Matos. So, that is a Machlokas. On one side, you have the Mechaber and the Taz, who say Tvilas Kalim, you have the Bach and the Isser Heter, and the Shach, who like the Gersa of Al Tfilos Klim Matros. Obviously, we all know that our men is like Mechaber. We say Al Tfilos Kalim, no one says Al Tfilos Klim Matros. It's just a fascinating Taz here, because the Taz seems to explain the Yisod of the Machlokas in a very interesting way. He says, what's the Yisod of the Machlokas? It's Machlokas and Hilchos Brachos. He says, what's the Machlokas? The Bach holds that a Bracha should explain all the details necessary. And it's important for people to know they don't control all Kalim, only metal and glass Kalim. Right? Only metal Kalim are from the Torah, let's say. And the Shach says, no, a bracha doesn't have to explain all the details. It just has to describe what you're doing. So it seems to be a focus on what's the function of a bracha. The Taz says that one of the functions of bracha is to teach you details. The Shach says, no, the function of the bracha is just to thank, praise Hashem for what you're doing. The bracha is not supposed to teach you the details. Shach says, the Taz says that the bracha is not supposed to teach you details. Oh, why do we say lahadlik ner shal Chanukah and not lahadlik ner? So that's not to teach us that we do it on Chanukah. That's because what you're doing is called a ner Chanukah. It's not just called, like everyone calls it a ner Chanukah. And he says, why? What's the name of? Why do we say al kisoy dam ba'ofar? Why don't we just say Kisoy Adam? So doesn't that prove that you have to learn all the details?
Right. By the way, what do we learn from the word ve'afar?
That, right, has to be in the middle of the offer, both bottom and top. So doesn't that prove, like the Bach, that you have to teach details in the bracha, kisadam ba'offer, to remind people of details? So the Taz says, very cleverly says, no! The bracha only has to describe what you're doing. You know why you sell kisadam ba'offer? Not to teach you the details, but because the mitzvah to put the dirt before, under the blood, and to put the dirt above the blood. So we want to make sure that the bracha is going on both actions that you do. So that's why we say ba'afar. So that the bracha will be mitzurf to the two ma'isim you do. But it's not for educational reasons. It's just the bracha will be mitzurf to the ma'isa. How about the ma'isa? We pass like the top of the cover here. That the bracha doesn't have to teach you all the details. And the only reason we say kisudam ba'afar is so that the bracha will have a tzeruf to both actions of the mitzvah. And the only reason we say Ner Chanukah is because it's called a Ner Chanukah, and that's why we just say Al-Tfilas Kalim.
Should one switch by singular and plural? Or the Aruch Shulchan says?
Said you should always say Kalim, but the minig is to switch singular and plural. But if you're Masufik, you can say Kalim, let's say one Safik, one Vadai, because, you know, Kalim can work really either way. But the minig is to say Kalim and Kalim. Okay, Dal. Tripod Shoshon Lane Kadera Ainum Tunis Tvila, right? We know what a tripod means, right? And theoretically a tripod means something with three legs that holds something on top. It doesn't have to have three legs, it means a stove grate. Right? A stove grate, which the technical, I believe the proper modern Hebrew word for is spider. That's what they're told by Israelis. The stove grate, you understand. The stove grate doesn't need toveling, even though it's a very, very, very important kli to use in preparing your suda, because why doesn't it need toveling? Because it doesn't touch the food. The definition of kli suda doesn't mean any kli important for the suda. It means only the kli that touches the food. Whatever doesn't touch the food is potter enotam tfila aval. Pedilius, I don't know what English word that's related to. Tunas filination, also makal atzmo, but it seems to be something where you actually, some sort of like grate where you actually put food on.
Grill.
So, yeah, I'm not sure if it's a regular grill or some special kind of thing. I don't know, they don't describe what it is. Maybe the Bade will describe what it is. Anyway, but the point is very clear. The barbecue grill that you put your meat on needs toveling because that's where you put your food. That's like the pot. But the stove grate that you put your pots on does not need toveling because it doesn't touch the food. And this is the general rule, that any kli, even if it's very important for eating, if it's not used to touch the food, then you don't have to tovel it. Just some examples of that are, we'll see later, one example of that is covers, like an example would be a cover of a canister. Let's say, we'll see pot covers are different, let's say the cover of the cookie jar.
Or the butter on the table.
Or
the wine.
What? Yeah, so anything that doesn't touch the food, or another example would be a plata, right? The plata, why do you have to total your plata? The
one you use on Shabbos. Because you don't put food on there, you put kalim on there, or a toaster oven. You have to total the rack of the toaster oven,
because that's where you put your bread to toast, but you don't have to total the whole thing, because you don't put your food on the whole thing, only on the rack. The outside part of the crock pot, etc. All things that don't touch your food, you don't have to tovel. The poskim assume that likewise things you use for opening the food, to clear the food, also you don't have to tovel. I mean, that might also be not considered an important function. But likewise, you don't have to tovel the scissors you use for opening the milk or the can openers. Or the corkscrews or things like that, because those aren't made to be used with the food. Those are just made to be used with the kalim. And even if they accidentally touch the food sometimes, that doesn't make a difference because that's not their function.
The grate you put on the
mangle, you do need to tovel, because that touches the food. So that for sure you need to tovel. Let's say you put your food on the plata, then maybe you would need to tovel it. Let's get back to that in a second. I just want to discuss.
What about a pot cover?
What? Pot covers, that will be enforced a little later. That the pot covers, you do have to tovo because, why do you have to tovo the pot covers? Because the zeya, that's considered touching the food. But that's only pot covers that are used to cook liquids. But other covers, you don't have to tovo. So as a cookie jar cover, I don't think you have to tovo. But a cookie jar itself, I think you do have to tovo, because that's not a storage cleat. You eat out of it. So the cookie jar, I think you would have to tovo. If you have a glass cookie jar with a cover, you shouldn't. Now, the two things that are a little controversial is, number one, a nutcracker is very controversial. Why is a nutcracker controversial? So on the one hand, it doesn't touch the nut, it only touches the shell. On the other hand, the shell is part of the nut. It's an organic part of the nut. It's not like a different item. So that's the question. How about a nutcracker, which is used, on the one hand, only cracks the shell. On the other hand, the shell and the nut are all one pre, so maybe that's considered to be touching the food. So that, you know, maybe should depend on the status of Shomer Lepre or something, but yeah?
So considered
food? Yeah, you use it to prepare your food for eating, no?
It is.
Yeah, but on the other hand, maybe you say it doesn't touch the food, it only touches, after all, maybe it's a can opener. You don't have to double a can opener or a corkscrew. That's not used for the food, that's used for the container. So what is a nutcracker used for the food or for the container? So this is a big, big, big machlokas. Achronim, the Tefilas Kalim book quotes it. He quotes where Shlomo Zalman Orbach said Yerchayev. He quotes the Shev Rav Wazan, the Shev Alevi says Rav Potzer. And there's Rav Moshe who says you should tovel without a bracha. He makes a compromise. I asked Rav Willing about this once, and he says it's better to tovel without a bracha, even though not be pashas. You think you should be Potzer, so it's easy enough to tovel without a bracha. So nutcrackers are very controversial. The even more controversial issue is what about something that that doesn't touch the food because you put aluminum foil or what do you call that paper that you bake on? Or parchment paper or something like that in between. So what about, this is a big issue, what about, for example, the racks in your oven? Right? So the racks in your oven, those aren't meant to touch the food. You only put pots on them. But you often put things to warm up or even to cook on those racks, and you just put silver foil underneath, right? If you want to make a baked potato, what do? You put it on silver foil and put it on your oven rack. You don't put it in a pan, I think. So use it to cook potatoes with a half sink of aluminum foil. And likewise, sometimes you have like... you have a baking sheet that you would put like paper and then put the stuff to bake on it. So what about these things where there's not another kli? There's just like a something to keep it clean that you put on top of it. So would that need tefila or not? The simple shot you would think is that it shouldn't need tefila. Why? Because the Gra here explains based on the Rashba that how do we know that only something that touches the food is called kli suda? Because the original, what's the main point of this parsha in the Torah and Parsha's Matos? Is the main point about Tefilas Kalim? Well, the main point is about kashering the Kalim, because they're Boleya. Only things that touch the food are Boleya. And therefore, things that don't touch the food are not Kli Suda. So you would think, Lamais, if you put the potato on aluminum foil, ain't Kli Boleya from a Kli, we all know from earlier in the year. So the oven shouldn't be Boleya, so you'd think it should be Potter.
Well, it's perfectly more porous.
Parchment paper might be more porous. Yeah, I saw that. I saw someplace, I forget where, who wanted to say that maybe parchment paper would be worse. Maybe it was in a chalitz b'chalitz. That chalitz b'nyamit, whatever it is. That's a tweet. We're going to discuss all about it. I can't keep track of this. I saw in the Bada he wanted to say that maybe parchment paper, because it's porous, is boleya. I'm not sure. Is parchment paper really porous? What?
Yeah,
okay. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a bucky. Anyway, Lemaisa, you would think, based on this gra, that aluminum foil should save you from having to tovel your kalim. Because since it prevents bleas, that's not called a kli suda. However, the Tefilas Kalim book quotes from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who was machver, that, oh, since aluminum foil is not an independent kli, it's just the way to keep your grill clean, to keep your rack clean. Therefore, it's considered buckle to the rack, and it's as if you're putting the potato down straight on your oven rack.
So this is a big machlokas. You would have thought based on the grah that you could. You would have thought based on the grah that you could be makel. I can give you two svaras lahakel. One svar lahakel is because that's not a kli suda because it's not touching the food and it's not bolea from the food. The other svar lahakel you could say is that many achronim hold. We'll see that I think a little later. That you go by the main usage. And the main usage of the oven rack and the plata, etc., is not to put challah on the silver foil. It's to put pots on. So, you could have good svaras lahakel, but the Tfilas Kelim book quotes that where Shlomo Zalman Urvah was machmir. He says, if you put a kli in it, that's different. If you have a crock pot, I mean, then you put bags in, that's different. A bag is like a real kli. That you could like, you know, even though it's just to keep it clean, they said that counts as real clean. But if you just put aluminum foil down, we ignore the aluminum foil. The aluminum foil is totally batel. Therefore, he said anything which you use only through aluminum foil is considered to be touching the food, and you need to tovo. That's how Rabbi Willig Paskins also. Therefore, Willig says you have to, when you buy an oven, you have to tovo the racks of the oven because you put potatoes and other things to cook just on aluminum foil. And therefore, that's considered to be a kli suda.
You do with a bracha?
I don't think you tell you to do with a bracha.
Isn't it
there? Meaning suffix, like it's
kind of. Isn't it there, Rabbi Davis? Does he have to be told that
No, Dharma Ram is only if two things combine to be one kli. If you have two different kalim and they're not attached to each other, you don't say Ram. So anyway, so basically something used with an interrupting layer of aluminum foil is very unclear whether that call counts as a clay suit or not, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoting to Tfilas Kelim safer as being machmir, and that's our rule of Paskin that therefore if you have a plata and you put your challah to warm up on, on aluminum foil, then you would think you should have to total it.
Are they all made by Jews?
What?
What about the upside down?
Could be, but the ovens aren't. So you'd have to take your racks out of your oven and bring them to the mikvah.
Plots are made by Jews.
What?
Are made by
Jews. I don't know. I'm not sure where they're
made.
What
about the upside down?
They're probably made in China. Yeah. But I don't know. They might be ordered by the Jews. I don't know. You have to investigate them. Yeah. Upside down, what?
No, if you would use it with an upside like.
Oh, no, then that's a real thing.
And the, is there a heter to use it before you total it?
No.
To use it with, not to use it with.
No, there's no heter to use it with aluminum foil before you total it.
No, not with aluminum foil, to use it with a pot. Like the oven rack. Can you use it with pot before you total it?
L'chora you could. Yeah.
I had an idea that you.
Yeah, I mean, look, there might be some people who say, I'm never going to put a potato on silver foil. And Givaldic, okay?
Don't
and
like
you don't have a problem.
Doesn't like platas and other electric devices.
We'll get to that.
If you're in a situation where you're putting the foil down and it's actually mafria, meaning, let's say you're using from the grill, the foil is stopping you apparently, you still say it's possible?
Why would you foil if you're using someone's grill? I don't know, might still be a problem. Much. Might still be a problem. Yeah.
Something like a rolling pin that touches the food before it's like.
Okay, we'll get that. That's sif hey. Which happens to be what we're up to. Okay. We're not gonna finish this one today. It seems. But let's at least look at Sif Hei. How far did people are probably finished the Siman and Seder? How far is everyone? What?
Test.
Okay, so you're a little out of me. Let's can go for a few more minutes. Hey, Sakin Shel Shchita or Sakin Shem Afshitim Bo, the Shchita knife or the skinning knife. Yesh Misha Omer She'eno Tzarech Tvila. So the Mechaber. The Mechaber Paskins, he quotes the Mordechai, He says that you don't need to tovel the shechita knife. Why? Like Demi said, because it's not a kli suda because it's used before it's ready to be eaten. Now, don't get me wrong. Pots and pans are a kli suda because by the time you finish using them, it's ready to eat, right? And the whole point is they take it from being not ready to eat and make it ready to eat. So that's for sure kli suda. What the discussant said, hey, is something that you use it when it's not ready to eat, and when you're finished using it, it's still not ready to eat, because you have to do something else, right? You shed the animal. That's definitely a step closer to being ready to eat, but until you cook it and a few other details, then it's not ready to eat. So what about something used before it's ready to eat? There are many examples of this. A rolling pin is a classic example, right? When you finish rolling something, it's never ready to eat. Other examples of this would be a cookie cutter, right? You can only use a cookie cutter before you bake the cookies, right? When they're not ready to eat yet. Or a coffee grinder, right? You can only grind it before it's cooking, or like a kneading hook, right? You have a, like, what do you call it? KitchenAid, what do you call those things? A mixer, right? So you have a hook that kneads the dough. So that's all these things, or a flour sifter, or something like that, or chicken shears that you use only for raw chicken, although you might also use them for cooked chicken. So maybe that's not a good example. Probably use the same ones. I don't know if it's healthy or not, but you probably do. Yeah, if you wash them, that should be healthy. So what are all these things that are only used for food that's not ready to eat? Are those clay suda? They're definitely clay ochel. But are they clay suda? Or no, it's only clay suda if, by the time you finish using the clay, you're ready to have a suda. People who eat dough. Well, no one eats challah dough, do they?
Cookie dough,
everyone eats. Yeah.
Even
challah
dough.
Even
challah
dough.
Sometimes use that same blade for things
that are edible. I think challah dough. I would have to say bala daito. I don't know. That seems to me to be bala daito. What?
It's not bala daito.
I don't know. By now, cookie dough is. I don't know, by now cookie dough might be very prevalent. I'm not sure. In any case, what's the din of these things? You know, some people have flour sifters, right? So flour sifters are for sure. They're not ready to eat yet. So the Mechaber paskins, that anything which, after you use it, it's still not ready to eat, is potter and tefila. That's not called kli suda. However, at least for the Ashkenazim, the Ramah says, v'yesh cholken. Right, he quotes a Tashbetz who says that you're a chayev. He says, nope, that's still used to prepare for the Suda. It's just one of the steps in the Suda. The total of a little bracha, the Ramah Paskin, that you should total without a bracha, me suffering. So halacha lemaisa, let me come up with a proper example. Let's say, halacha lemaisa, you had chicken shears, scissors, that you only use for raw chicken, or you had a shechita knife that you only use to shecht. Or, you know, sometimes the butchers have these big knives that they only use for the raw meat. Even though you only use it when it's not ready to eat yet, you have to total it without a bracha because of this machlokes, a rishonim.
The thing that needs bread, can you
provide it as long as the apple if you don't have to cover it? No, but it only works if you attach it, right? I mean, everything comes out. I mean, this comes out if I pull it hard enough, but it doesn't work. Right?
So I'm saying that the thing that actually does the mixing comes out.
I know, but you can't use it unless it's in. It's useless. It's garbage if it's out. I mean, it's not garbage, but it's not usable unless it's in. It's not like you could use it by itself by hand. No, there's no way to use it by hand.
No,
but I'm talking about the bowl. I'm talking about the hook. I know, but you can't do anything with it.
Right.
Anyway, I would not necessarily think so, but let's make it more complicated. What makes it more complicated is the next line of the Ramah. Habarzalim shemetakim matzos. What about the metal things you use to metake the matzos? I don't know if there's an English word for them. I assume he means the Riddler. Is there an English word for that?
What was the word you
used? Isn't it called the word? Nothing to do with Batman. It's your riddle. I think that's the word. No? Who speaks Yiddish here? You know the thing that you have a handle and it's a circle? It's like the rolling pin with the spikes and you make a hole in the matzos?
That's what it is. I thought it was the big stick that you put it on.
That's not matake anything.
Yeah,
huh?
You put it down there.
That's not matake. No, it means Riddler. I think that's what it's called in Yiddish. Bardo, what do you call it in Yiddish? Anyway, so it means the thing that makes the holes in the matzos. I'm sure there is no English word for it because, you know, people who don't speak Yiddish don't play matzos. What? Did he say the thing that makes the holes in the matzos?
Yes.
But I'm sure he doesn't give an English word.
No.
Okay, did he give it a Yiddish word? All right, Lomashene. Anyway, Viter. So, the Ramah says the thing that makes the holes in the matzahs, that's, of course, the thing that makes the holes in the matzahs before you make the matzahs, right? They're not edible yet. Einam tzrichim tzvila. Doesn't need to be tovold. What's wrong with this Ramah? He says the thing that makes the holes in the matzahs doesn't need to be tovold. What's wrong with this Ramah? Goes against the previous word in the Ramah. Right? He just said that anything used before it's ready to eat, you should total without a bracha because it's machlokas Mordechai and Tashmis. And now he says, the thing that riddles the matzah, you don't need to tovel. So he just sells himself from one line to the next. It doesn't seem to make any sense. So, if you want to make sense of the Ramah, who would you have to say like?
Shach.
Like the Shach. Correct, meaning, if you want to read the Ramah as Medoyak, right? The Diok Lashon of the Ramah, right? The Shach and the Diok of the Ramah, if you want to read him as, I don't mean like a diok, like some crazy diok. I mean, if you just want to read him as writing clearly, he obviously thinks there's a difference between the shechita knife and the thing that makes the holes in the matzos. What is the difference?
The shechita knife is more versatile.
Exactly. The shechita knife is used on food that's not edible, but you could use it on food that's edible, if you wanted to. But the thing that riddles the matzos, you can only use on inedible matzahs. If you took that and put it on the matzahs after they were baked, you would just break the whole matzahs. You would turn them into a matzah particle. That wouldn't be a... And there would be no point, because you don't need holes in them after they bake. The point of the holes is to keep it from being nafuah, from bubbling, whatever the word is, from to keep it from bubbling while it bakes. Don't ask me why it would or wouldn't bubble if anything has holes, but it's a fact. You can ask someone else the explanation. So he says that there's two madrigas. There is a saken shchita, which could be used on edible food, and that we paskin is a safek. And then there's a kli shemetaknin bo matzos, which can only be used on inedible food. And that is Vadai Potter. That's how the Shach reads the Ramah, and that seems to make sense in the Ramah. However, the Taz and the Gra disagree. The Taz and the Gra say. The brush sling. We don't care what it could be used for. We care what it is used for. Right? Doesn't matter what could be. We care about what actually is, not what could be. And therefore, they say there's only one category, which is if it is used for inedible food, and the psak is then a suffix, and the Ramah didn't write clearly. The Ramah didn't mean to say that the thing that makes holes in the matzah is potter. The Ramah meant to say the thing that makes holes in the matzah is potter according to one opinion, and chayim according to another opinion, and we should total it without a bracha. Okay, it's a very dogged way of reading the Ramah, but that's a famous machlokes in the Shach and the Taz, that the Shach says there's too much regas, and something which can only be used for inedible food is potter legamre, something which is normally used for inedible food, but you could use for edible food is suffix. The Taz and Gra is only one category. Anything used for inedible food is a suffix, and the Ramah is written Shlomo Diktok. The Orach HaShulchan has a has a different way of reading Ramah. He says there's too much regis, but not based on what you could theoretically do. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the too much regis are something which is used in a choshev way on inedible food. That's a suffix, but something which is used in a non-choshev use, that's by the potter. The holes in the matzahs are not so choshev, because those don't actually make the matzahs. They just keep them from bubbling, so it won't be a halachi chashash. As opposed to a shechita knife, which really is important in creating the meat. So he has a, although most people don't adopt this, he has a different shot in the Ramah. He admits there's too much regis, but not based on what you could theoretically do, based on how important the step it is. The shechita is an early step, but a very crucial one. The hafshata is an early step, but a very crucial one. The tikkun matzos is an early step, which is not so crucial. That's how he reads the Ramah. Halacha l'maisa, ad hayom hazeh, this is still a machlokes. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is about the... There's no machlokes about the second shechita. Right? Halacha l'maisa, that's pashut. That's a suffix, you told without a bracha. That no one argues about. The machlokes is about the kli that you use the matzos. Right? This is the machlokes. The shah says putter. And the taz says suffix. The taz says only one category, the shah says two categories. And halacha l'maisa, am hayom hazeh, different people say different thing. I think in the Tefillas Kalim book is machmir like the taz. Tefillas Kalim book is machmir like the taz. I know Rav Heineman, the star K, is maker like the shach. He says better to be machmir. Better to be machmir like the taz. If possible, so l'maisa. If possible, better to be machmir like the taz. You know, if it's something which you could total and doesn't present any problems, then it's better to be machmir like the taz. And and total something, even if it can exclusively only be used for things that are not yet edible, such as a flour sifter or a coffee grinder. Let's say it's a coffee grinder that can't grind other things, or a dough hook or something like that. Even though they can only be used for inedible food, so it's preferable to total them.
According to the Mechaber, though, even if you sometimes use it for edible foods, then you'd have to total it.
That is not 100% clear, that's not 100% clear. He doesn't say what would happen if it was sometimes used for something different. The Pri Chodesh assumes it would still be Pater. He assumes we don't go by sometimes. But that's not clear. We'll get to that in Sif Ches. Although we'll get to it in the Ramah, so I can't prove what the Mechaber thinks. Frank. The Mechaber holds that they're all Patur, the Gamri. Nothing to talk about. Just Agav, there's an interesting Rav Moshe who makes a tremendous chiddush, which I don't think is normally accepted, but I should point out that what's the issue here? The issue here is you can potter something, you know, there's a tzvara to potter things that are used before it's edible. Rav Moshe says, this is a tremendous chiddush Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked about tobling toasters. In his days, the only thing was toasters, meaning his early days. The only electric appliance they had a question about was toasters. You have to total. Actually, that's not true. He has another truth about other things. Okay, but in his days, one of the issues that he couldn't solve using his other svaras, or his other svara, which we'll mention later, was toasters. You have to total the toaster or not. Remember the old-fashioned toasters? Not toaster ovens. Toaster ovens, you just total the rack. No big deal. But the toasters, the ones that pop. Anyone have those?
Oh, yeah.
Really? That's so,
that's
so retro of you. Anyway, these toasters. So they were afraid it would break if you totaled it. So they asked Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe says, ah. He says, toasters are putter. Toasters are like the barzolim shemetaktim behema matzos. Why? The barzolim, they're not edible. They don't make it edible. Toasters also don't make it edible because it was edible beforehand. That's not a clay suit, huh? It doesn't help you eat. It doesn't make it edible. It was already edible. So he says, your forks and knives, that's what you bring to the table. What you bring to the table is for sure pli suda. He says, what you don't bring to the table is only things that make it edible. And that's a tremendous glitch. That if it's already edible anyway,
And all this does is some people like their bread soft, some people like it hard, but that's not significant.
They bring popular toasters using the svara. Most people thought this was going a little far,
but he wanted to extend this to pottering toasters. Agav, there's a discussion here also in terms of end by five, not to worry. The Shach and Taz discuss what about the knife you use to cut the vegetables, the vegetable cutting knife. Now it's not clear to me exactly what I saw. It wasn't clear to the Bada either. Exactly what kind of vegetable cutting knife they meant. I don't think it means like when you slice vegetables for salad. But we'll see. Not clear. What about the knife that you cut the vegetable with? So this is a big machlokes on the bottom or the page.
Peeler.
What?
A vegetable peeler.
So maybe that would be then the same machlokes. We'll see in a second. That's the machlokes in the Bach and the Prisha. The Bach says you are chayav because it's a kli of ochel nefesh.
The Prisha says not. It's a kli of ochel nefesh, but it's not a kli of suda.
Everyone agrees it's a kli of ochel nefesh. What's the nafkamina of being a kli of ochel nefesh? Anyone ever read the Chumash? What? Exactly, that you're not allowed to take it as collateral for a, you're not allowed to confiscate it as collateral for a debt. That's an issue to raise. It's a very, it's a real halach. But is it a kli suda? And that's the Bach says it is a kli suda, the Prisha says it is not a kli suda, and the Shach and the Taz are maker like the Prisha. So, in terms of this knife you use to cut vegetables, the Bach and the Prichadash says it is a klisuda. It is a klisuda. But the Prisha and the Shach and the Taz say that it is not a klisuda. The problem is it's not so clear. It wasn't clear to me, and then I looked in the Bar Yishalcha and he says it wasn't clear to him either. I mean, he quoted that the Aruch HaShulchan wasn't 100% clear. So what are they arguing about? Like, why should this not be considered to be a klisuda? Like, what would make this a klisuda or not? So are they arguing about things you use to cut vegetables that need cooking? And it's like the shechita knife and the thing you use to riddle matzahs? Or are they arguing even about things you use to cut cucumbers and tomatoes just because that's not an important thing? You know, and it's like a Moshe's toaster. So it's not so clear. It's not so clear exactly what they're arguing about. The Aruch HaShulchan in the end said, yeah, I'm not sure, but in the end he decided that if it's used to cut edible vegetables, you should tovel it, and if you used to cut inedible vegetables, then he thought you could be mako, because he said it's not an important use, and then it's that's how he was mechalking the sakin shchita and the klisha tagno matzos. Halacha l'maisa, we don't really have special knives that are used for cutting vegetables. Like our knives cut all kinds of things. So I'm not sure exactly what kind of knives they had, special knives for cutting vegetables. But l'maisa, our regular knives, we tovel.
Why
so this only was one of the Aruch HaShulchan who said that the difference between Sakin Shel Shchita and the Klishat Hagno Matzah is whether there's an important step or not. Say this is not an important step, and therefore there are all be mekel. Anyway, okay. So halacha l'maisa is a very confusing machlokes because they don't say exactly what kind of cutting was done by this knife and when and on what and why one thinks it is a klisuda, the other thinks it isn't. So it's hard to apply that halacha l'maisa nowadays. Just the very end of the Ramah says. He says, V'chein kisur shekoven al pas lafoso doesn't need to be toveled. Any cover that doesn't touch the food doesn't need to be toveled. So if it doesn't touch the food, it's not a klei suda.
So the thing you put over the bread when you bake it, nowadays we don't put things over the bread when we bake it.
But if you would have, like, a cover over the bread when you bake it, wouldn't need to be toveled. But, hakisur k'dei retzach tefila, the cover of the pot does need to be toveled because that gets the zeya. Dry things don't have zeya, but wet things have zeya, as we saw, remember, for Moshe and from the Darkei Moshe. So something you use to, let's say, a Dutch oven or something that you bake bread in, that's a thing like that, the cover part. I think there's something you're meant to, like, bake things in that has, like, a top and a cover, and that cover wouldn't need to be toveled, but a pot cover does need to be toveled, because that does touch the food. It touches the food, because it will go in the zay, and it goes up and down and up and down. Okay, we'll pick up Mir's Shem Sunday.
Cover red off.
What?
R-E-B-E-F.
In English?
Yiddish.
In Yiddish. Okay, Riddle. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The Riddle.
What about vegetable peeler?
What?
A vegetable peeler.
So the vegetable peelers would be the things that your gozei, the yerek, that is ready to eat.
What?
So the Aruch HaShoah is not one.
Potato.
What?
Potato. Yeah, so then
you could also use it for carrots and cucumbers. So the Aruch HaShoah is not wearing that kind of peeler that peels food that's ready to eat. So you wouldn't use it.